Morning, folks. Yeah, another early one. I know Voice of Freedom is not usually a morning kind of show, and we've had two in 2 days, but that's because, well, we get important people and they're on the other side of the world, and we like to try and work in with what's best with them as often as we can. And today, very special guest, we've got Max Egan coming on and joining us. So I'd like to help, or like to thank Cass Smith for helping arrange this. Cass is going to join us today. While Max is wherever Max is in the world, I know exactly where Cass is. She's at her Witherin property. Good morning. How are you?
Hello, very good. Always good when I'm here.
Yeah, beautiful part of the world. I was lucky enough to spend some time with you there yesterday, and I'll have some video that we can show people in up-and-coming shows of just how beautiful the area that you have at Witherin is. And hey, listen, there's opportunities for people to be able to come and live there with you. Me, maybe? Yes. I don't know. I'll have to pass the test. But really, Cass, you've got to be so proud. I saw the property just after Christmas or early this year, January, when you came up. I saw the video of you covered in mud, sliding down dam faces, trying to walk your way up wet hills, and saw the state of the roads around the place and thought, oh, it's a big job. And yet I turned up yesterday and, boy, have you done a big job. It just looks amazing. Blue metal road down, pads built, everything's coming together really, really well. You've got to be so proud.
Yeah, it's fantastic. And it's Samantha, who's here behind us but won't jump on the show. It's her to credit for all of the work. I just count the beans, count the money, as accountants do.
And the goats.
And I'm a goat feeder. I'm happy to feed the goats.
Yes.
We've got sheep being born soon, so I'm coming back to help birth the sheep. So that should be good.
You're coming back to help birth the sheep.
Yeah.
Have you ever been into lamb marketing?
Not my skill. Nope, never done any of it, but I'll give it a go.
I think we better come down and film that. That's going to be a great day out in the bush. All right, well, without further ado, let's introduce the man we're here to talk to. He's an expat Australian currently living offshore. He does put out a very interesting, entertaining, and always very informative blog or vlog on a regular basis. And it's the first time that we've been able to get him on this program, and I managed to screw up spelling his name. When I put all this together last night, I'd been out at Cass's place filming, and I was just tired, and I've spelt Max Egan's surname wrong in the description. Max, I apologise for my stupidity. Thank you for joining the Voice of Freedom today.
Pleasure to be here, brother. Nice to meet you. Good to see you again, Kaz. And nice to see Sam pop in as well. Yeah, good. How's things in Oz?
Oh, well, they're pushing hard so that we don't have cash anymore. They're trying to tell us that we need to take more jabs than usual. And now the flu vaccine is the way they're trying to get it to us, the mRNA jab through the flu vaccine. So nobody seems to be backing down here a bit. Albanese and Indian Prime Minister Modi are meeting today. Of course, Biden's gone back to America to try and stitch up some kind of a deal, I guess, for this debt disaster they're about to walk into. So Australia at the moment, basically pushing along, as the normies would say, oh, everything's going okay. Anybody with their eyes slightly open will be horrified at certain events, I would say.
Yeah, dystopia central is what it seems to be. Like all this cashless grid, if they let them push out this cashless grid, get rid of cash and bring in this digital ID and their 15-minute cities, which are now they're talking about 10-minute cities and even 5-minute cities, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. If they allow them to do this, it's game over for the human race. This is treason. I mean, the fact that Albanese is signed over the country to the World Economic Forum guidelines, basically. This is an unelected corporate entity that is basically dictating policy in Australia. This is treason. Albanese and his entire government needs to be marched up the gallows, a lot of them. They need to be arrested. But how do you do that? All the police are corrupt. I mean, they're all doing the same thing as what the government wants them to do. The police aren't there to protect the people. The police are there to enforce whatever legislation these treasonous criminals write down on paper, and that's unfortunately the state of Australia, and the people seriously need to wake up and push back against this whole cashless thing that they're rolling out here. It's ridiculous.
It's you mentioned 20-minute, 15-minute, 10-minute cities. I saw an interview that you and Cass did recently where you spoke at length about that. If it was really if they were really trying to do the right thing by us, to give us all the facilities that we needed and all that kind of thing within our 15-minute range, why are they starting with security cameras and barricades?
That's the thing. They're not, you know, they're saying it's for your convenience, so you won't have to drive too far to get a bottle of milk. It's all good for the climate. Everything will be at your fingertips. You just got to walk around the area. It's a really nice community. Well, why aren't they putting in the shops and the malls and the parks and the restaurants and everything you need? Now, the first thing they're putting in is surveillance cameras and roadblocks. It's a prison. They're building a prison. They're just decorating it nicely so you won't notice.
Have you seen a higher uptake of things coming through, certainly my social media channels for some reason at the moment? There is a lot of robotic dogs appearing, militarized, you know, AI-controlled or operated dogs appearing. With also a lot of advice on how you might defend yourself against one of those or defeat one of those in any kind of a battle. I find that a bit of a concerning turn in social media when you're finding that sort of stuff pop up on Facebook.
Well, yeah, I mean, I've been warning people about this stuff for years, these robot dogs, and soon the police will be replaced by a robot police as well. So they're not safe. And there's no compassion or reasoning with any of this sort of stuff. It's just got its directives, and that's what it does. A lot of these dogs are actually drone-driven as well. You'll find that there's guys sitting in police vans that are actually operating the dog. So they haven't got a fully set up as strong AI yet. But they're putting guns on some of these things as well. I mean, pretty drastic stuff. And these will be all there to keep you in your 15-minute zone. But the thing is, if they turn it all digital, they get digital cash, they get digital ID, and they get you locked in these 15-minute areas. They're all going to have sensors on there. Want to get rid of cars, so you won't have petrol cars. You'll be driving their electric cars. You go outside your 15-minute zone, your car's going to stop working. You'll say, well, you've got 60 seconds to do a U-turn and get back on your side of the border. And if you try to buy anything at a shop outside your 15-minute zone, well, your car won't work. Then you'll probably get deducted carbon credit points for traveling too far anyway. So now you can't eat steak for another 2 weeks or whatever. I mean, this is all the stuff they can do. They can control every single aspect of your life because you have to pay to be alive to do everything. And soon it'll be at the point, well, it'll be pay as you go. We'll make it easier for you so your electricity bill's down. So you're going to turn on your tap and it's going to be a couple of credits. You're going to flush your toilet, a couple of credits. Every time you use an appliance in your home, a couple of credits. That's the way it's going to be. So it's ridiculous if people let them get away with this. And this is happening right around the world. Like, all countries have signed up to this. And that should tell you what's going on here. You know, people have got to stop thinking about the world as nations and governments and all these competing factions and think of it as one huge holding company with different franchises, different department stores, and they're all working together. They've created this whole scenario to get us fearful of other nations and fearful of all this stuff, fearful of terrorists and fearful of being invaded. So we need to have safe borders. It's not to keep invaders out. It's to keep you in. All of this has been to keep people in and to make us believe that we need governments to protect us. Well, who are they protecting us from? What, the other nation? Well, that's just people like us. It's the other governments. They're all working together because they're all doing the same thing. They're all going in lockstep with this WEF guidelines and this whole smart grid. Doesn't matter if Russia's fighting Ukraine. The whole thing's going on in Russia. It's going on in China. It's going on in Canada. It's going on in Venezuela, for God's sake. It's going on everywhere. All of the governments are working together to do it. And that should really be something for people to see. This is one large criminal cabal. Stop thinking about governments and nations competing with each other. We've got an international, multinational, multigenerational criminal cabal disguised as a system of governments and nations, and they're all working together to enslave their people. And this is the final lockdown. And if they manage to get this digital prison in place, then it's going to be game, set, and match. It's going to be very, very difficult to extricate ourselves from it. And the kids that grow up into it, the children that are being born now, are going to have no reference point for what freedom looked like because they've killed off so many people with the injection and all the stuff they're doing now, isolating people and dividing people. And it's horrendous what's happening. And humanity needs to wake up. We've got to push back and refuse to comply with all this stuff. You know, if they want to bring in their digital cash and all that, the CBDC, just don't use it. Use cash. And if you can't get cash, use gold and silver. But don't use their digital currency. Stop taking your smartphone everywhere. Stop scanning QR codes. I've never scanned a QR code. I never wore a mask. And I've never bought anything at any shop in the real world using a card. I go and I pay cash. I have my whole life. And that's the way to defeat the system.
Yeah. surely does. Cass, given that we do push precious metals quite hard here with the Voice of Freedom and through Freedom FFS, given Max's description of a 15-minute city and the lockdowns and not being able to spend your money, how will having a pile of gold and cash or gold and silver in our home be able to help us in that 15-minute city sort of style of arrangement?
Yes, I love that question, Carl. So firstly, and this is one of the reasons I recommend people store it at home, is because if you're storing it in a vault and then that vault happens to be outside your 15 minutes and we go into a lockdown, not going to be able to get to our gold. So, for example, most of the gold dealers for Canberra people are in Sydney. If we have another lockdown, you're not going to get your gold. So I always say store it at home. I also say make sure you also buy some tradable pieces. For this very reason, if we really do get down to the 15-minute cities, you know, if we lose this war, which it seems we might be, and we get locked down again, you want to have tradable pieces so that we can be trading with each other. One more final point on that. The gold dealers have been around for 6,000 years. They've been around. They were one of the very original businesses, the goldsmiths and the blacksmiths. They've been through all of these ups and downs, wars, collapses, all the different economies that have gone under, and they still came through. I think that, and I won't name any gold dealers in this, but they're all awake. And I think at the end of the day, if there's absolutely no other choice, there'll be a black market.
Yeah.
They've done it at every other time in history. They'll do it again.
Yeah. Max, you have been a very open speaker, an honest speaker, I think, about the division that has sunk into the freedom ranks here in Australia. I remember a comment that you made after an event in Brisbane that you were going to speak at, and I want to say it was a tricky event, that you arrived to have a speak at and then were told you weren't allowed to speak, or there was a march that basically dragged people around the city for 2 hours. By the time they all got back, there was nobody to get back to, sort of thing. So I've often seen particularly those sorts of movements as divisive. They are splitters in our freedom movement. Am I being too aggressive? Am I being overstating things?
No, I think in many ways they are. Like, these rallies are great for showing solidarity. For people who aren't confident in thinking, well, you know, is everybody out there asleep? Am I all alone in what I think? You can go to these rallies, you can meet thousands of people who think exactly like you. So that's confidence inspiring. But if the rally isn't designed to actually start taking some sort of positive action, then what's it for? It's just a pressure relief valve. People go there and they scream and they chant and they listen to speakers and they march around the block and wave their placards, and then they go home and they think, wow, I did something today. No, you didn't. You just went out there and you got yourself on facial recognition and they filmed it all, and they got to hear the speakers and got to hear what the current mentality is. Oh, no, these people aren't going to push back. They're not doing anything positive. I mean, you know, these rallies, if you're going to march to Parliament House, do the rally on a day that Parliament's sitting, and then march to Parliament House and get the politicians to come out and explain themselves to you. One-on-one, you work for us. See, everything's been turned backwards. You know, we've got public servants, and everything they do is private. We don't know what's going on behind these walls.
Yeah.
It's all secretive, national security, all that sort of stuff. But they're public servants. We are private citizens. And yet everything we do is completely transparent, out in the open, and they want to know all about it. It's supposed to be the other way around. They work for us, and they backflipped it and got the private to be transparent and the public to be secretive. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So, you know, these rallies should march to Parliament House and say, listen, come out and explain yourselves. And we've got these complaints with you. In fact, that we find the fact that you are legitimizing pedophilia, having drag shows for children and all the stuff that you're doing in the schools. We don't approve of any of this. And we find the fact that you've signed our country over to economic guidelines that are coming from a foreign corporate power, not even another nation. You haven't even committed treason against us by giving power to another nation. You've done it to a private company of unelected individuals who are now dictating policy, which is affecting me on the ground. We're calling you out for treason. You're an abuse of office. You've used the office of Prime Minister, the office that you hold, the office of Premier, the office of Governor, whatever your office is. All of you politicians have used that office to delegate yourselves powers that you have no right to, powers that are not entitled to by that office. This is called abuse of office. This is the most serious crime a politician can commit. So you need to explain yourselves right now. We're going to get these cops to arrest you. But, of course, when are the cops going to do that? You try reporting a crime that a politician carries out to a police officer and they arrest you or they beat the shit out of you. And even if you can get it to court, what judge is going to prosecute it? Because they're all compromised. Now, and people will complain about the 28 names in Parliament, the 28 pedophiles who want named. All this screaming about name the names, name the names. It's a complete distraction. That's just 28 people that got caught. What you've got to be concerned about is the fact that all the rest of the government is covering them up and keeping these names suppressed. What does that tell you? And they tell you why they're keeping the names suppressed. It's because they believe that if the names were released, it would undermine people's confidence in the judiciary. Well, what does that tell you? That's why you can never process the politicians or prosecute the politicians. You know, these.
Well, when Brandis made that statement, Max, wouldn't that statement, I mean, it did for me, undermine my confidence in the judiciary when you need the Attorney General of the day to say, well, we can't tell you because it'll undermine the bloody.
Yeah, you just did. Yeah. Thanks for telling us what's going on. Thanks for telling us that it's all compromised. And it's like this right around the world. Look at that whole thing that happened with Epstein. All this focus on Epstein and on Ghislaine Maxwell. We want to see the client list. Who are the people that went to the island? Because they come from governments and banking corporations and stuff all around the world, all of them. And they're all in control of our countries. They just made a big theater show out of that so he wouldn't look at them. That's why the names have never been released. So, you know, and when I did that rally in Brisbane and there was 30,000 people there who really, these were concerned people who came there because they wanted to have a direction. And there was a real groundswell of people happening. And then the guy running the rally thought, well, you know, Max is maybe a bit egotistical or something because I'm passionate in what I do. And so he purposefully made me, well, he got me to go there at midday. I waited till 4 o'clock when the crowd came back. And there were 30,000 people there at the start, and they came back to those 1,500 people. And that's the last rally I went to. I just lost all confidence in those rallies from that point because we've got to motivate these people into action and to it's not just here to give them lip service and talk about how bad everything is and talk about our great plan for country or how we're all connected spiritually or all this hippie new age shit that people go on with. We're in a state of clear and present danger right now. We really are. This COVID scamdemic is an extinction-level event. There are thousands upon thousands of people dying, 34,000 Australians, excess deaths, something like 34,000 or 35,000 Brits. They're estimating that there's around 600,000 Americans dying a year from this jab. Now, people are saying, oh, I'm not seeing too many people dying around me, blah, blah, blah. But at the same time, I hear a lot of people saying, well, there's a lot of businesses closed down and a lot of people businesses are gone and shops are closed and there's not so much traffic congestion anymore, you know, because all these people are dying. It's remarkable. And then they're bringing all these migrants to replace us everywhere. And it's happening right around the world. The people of the world have got to wake up. There's a war going on here. It's an extinction-level event. It's been carried out by all our politicians at the whim of an unelected corporate entity, the WEF. And if your government has been supporting these COVID mandates and these lockdowns and this smart grid in any way, then your government is guilty of treason, and we need to take whatever steps are necessary to have these people removed and held accountable for their actions. That's what we need.
So just on the freedom movement here and particularly that bloke in particular, he's gone from being able to get rallies of 30,000 people to one he held last weekend attracted 200. It indicates to me that the people are starting to see through these.
Well, they're not going anywhere. Yeah. That's the thing. They're not going anywhere. They're not providing any action, any road forward. We're not talking about non-compliance. We're not talking about arresting these people. We're not talking about articles, whatever you'd call it for Australia. I mean, articles of impeachment in the United States.
Yeah.
But all of these governments need to be approached. They need to be called out. Stop beating around the bush. Stop saying, oh, well, we could have used ivermectin or we could have used this or these graphs indicate this. Listen, you guys are running out of slaughter. You guys lied to the people. You put out nursing homes. You locked our nursing homes. You let old people die behind glass. You starved them to death. Almost everybody who died from COVID died from a ventilator. And now people are getting so many sicknesses from this injection. You're calling it long COVID. You're calling it sudden adult death syndrome. What do you think? We're stupid? I mean, how stupid do you actually think we are? You people are criminals. You're carrying out a mass extermination around the world, and enough is enough. We want to hold you to account. And if the police won't do it, then we'll do it. But it's got to be done. The people have got to rally up and grow a backbone, and this has got to be done. It's got to be dealt with. Because if they roll out this smart grid, it's game over. You won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to even, you won't be able to do anything. You won't be able to leave your home. You'll only be able to buy what food they want you to buy, go where they want you to go, when they want you to go there. You won't be able to say anything they don't like, do anything they don't like. You won't be able to travel. You're going to be locked into a ghetto, a 15-minute ghetto, a 20-minute ghetto, a 10-minute ghetto, perhaps a 5-minute ghetto. This is where we're going, and it's so obvious. And if people can't see it by now, well, I don't know what it will take. But it's important. We're in a state of clear and present danger, and it could be healed very, very easily through mass non-compliance. We don't even need violence. We don't need to go and burn the Bastille down. We just need to all stand together and say enough is enough. But people are so distracted, all this LGBTQ and all this, like, it's just unbelievable.
Well, just on that, I'll let you know that, in fact, I might even be able to bring it in. I'll tell you about it first. There is a Pride Fest that's happening in Moreton Bay in Brisbane, and they've added the P to LGBTQABCI+. They've put the P in it for pedophile. So they're encouraging a big family weekend of Pride Fest and security and everything else, but they've added the P to it. I do have the brochures. I just haven't
sucked it. It's incredible. Like, think about this. Like, in 2019, we're just kind of cruising along. We knew the world was dysfunctional, but we're just kind of cruising along. If they started having drag shows to kids and talking about, you know, that you got to, you know, stop calling them pedophiles, they're minor attracted, but all this sort of stuff would have been seen as child abuse, would have been outraged if they started teaching this sort of stuff in 2019. Then they told us there was a virus going around the world and we needed to lock ourselves down 2 weeks to flatten the curve. And it's gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to mass surveillance, smart grids, lockdowns, people wearing masks, legalized pedophilia, training young kids that they want to cut their genitals off and all sorts. It's incredible what they've managed to do to the world in 3 short years, from 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Just 2 weeks to flatten the curve, then it's all going to be back to normal. But it's the new normal, the new normal where every single thing is inverted. Like, it's incredible what they've managed to do. And
why are people so blind to it, Max? We aren't the only... you might be the world's greatest intellectual, but I'm not. And I know Cass doesn't put herself up there as the world's smartest people, but we're able to see the truth in all of this. Why are so many others fighting us on the issue?
Well, they're programmed. I mean, I wonder if they're even people. Some of the stuff that I've seen, like recently that tasering of that 95-year-old woman and stuff like this. I mean, she was armed with a knife. Yeah, 5 foot
a
two.
A steak
woman.
Knife, Max. Yeah. How many 95-year-olds can eat steak, let alone know how to cook it, let alone how to cut it, with dementia?
Yeah, no, she's got dementia. She's in a walking frame. She's 5 foot two. You know, she's like, I guess they doubly armed. I mean, that walking frame, she could have hurled that on him and distracted
him. Oh yeah, they're strong and fast.
With a knife, you know, and she must have been one hell of an agile, sprightly young 95-year-old, you know.
Yeah. But who still remembered with dementia what a knife was for.
Yeah, but this sort of thing, I mean, what causes someone to do that? What causes people to go along with this LGBTQ agenda? I wonder if it's something in the jab. I mean, there's so much stuff that's come out from La Quinta Columna, and even Malcolm Roberts talked about the fact that there's nanotech in the vaccines. There's a little circuitry that's putting itself together. You know, building routers inside people, all these people that are giving off Bluetooth signals and stuff now. And this is a reality. This isn't a conspiracy theory. This is a reality. So if this is happening, what sort of frequencies are they putting out, which is changing people's consciousness and changing the way they think and changing? It's like everyone's on Prozac. Nobody cares about anything. Oh, you can rape kids. That's all good. You know, blow up people in Ukraine. Yeah, well, they never reach that state of emotion. Why aren't they angry? Why aren't people angry at what's happening? Why aren't they angry at being locked down? Why aren't they angry at the death rate? Why are they just going along like everything's just a big party at the end of the universe, you know? It's crazy. Mm-hmm. And I wonder whether it's the jab, whether it's frequencies they're putting in people. And the thing is, I mean, there's all sorts of talk of shedding and all sorts of stuff like this. Whether it's true, I don't know. But perhaps through exchanges of fluids, through promiscuous sex or something, perhaps this is going to go through other people. But they're destroying people's gender. They're destroying people's physicality. They're destroying their minds. And I don't know. I just wonder if it's a jab. So many people I know say, oh, my sister had the jab, and now she's like a different person. I mean, she's still there, but she's like a different person. And many of them are parroting the same lines. Oh, if it was a poison, well, it is what it is. It is what it is. You hear a lot of them say it is what it is. It's just, it's like they're having information fed to them. They're having dialogue fed to them. Have you seen, there's a new show, I'm actually doing a video today and I've mentioned it, I've focused on it a bit. It's called Mrs. Davis. It's about AI, people getting advice from the AI. Like someone goes in for an interview and this woman says, oh, do you mind if I proxy? You just talk to me and then I'll tell you what she tells me to say, you know. And there's people that keep trying to get this woman to do certain things and she realizes that it's the AI programming them all to come and harass her to do this, because the AI gets everyone to do what it wants them to do. So with what they're doing with 5G, putting up all these towers, that was the first thing they did in the lockdowns. As soon as they locked the country down, they ran out and they put up 5G towers and surveillance cameras everywhere. In the first 2 weeks they were doing this, they were working through like 24 hours a day, working through the night, putting in these surveillance cameras and these 5G towers. Now everyone's got Bluetooth signals. They're all hooked up. Little routers, technology. This has been ongoing through multiple vaccines, which would be like you do when you're building an operating system. You first put in the motherboard, then you put in the processor, put in the RAM, put in the graphics card, you know. More vaccines, more nanotech, 5G assembling itself. You know, they did tests. I did a movie years ago where I talked about the fact that they'd done tests on rats where they'd injected nanotechnology into rats and they were able to turn the genes on and off of the rats using radio frequencies. So that was back in the 70s, you know. They had stuff where they were doing experiments with cats in the 60s, putting little cups on their heads with wires attached to them, and they're changing the emotion of the cats. So they've done all sorts of experiments on how to do this. They know how to change people's emotions with Wi-Fi, how to change so much of what you're thinking with Wi-Fi. Change people's thoughts. I mean, even Klaus Schwab talked about that. We'll be able to change what you're thinking. Well, how are they going to do that? How would this be brought about? Well, mass vaccination through the nanotech that, as I said, even people in the mainstream, such as Malcolm Roberts, have identified this nanotech in there. So I think this is what's changing people. I think this
There are a number of US patents involved.
Oh, yeah.
In the technology used to alter your brain waves and how to program you.
Exactly. Patented
technology.
I had it on the last radio show, actually. I put up about 15 patents going back to 1974.
Yeah.
Which shows this is what we're, you know, oh, no, it's just a conspiracy theory.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe it's because they've already got you and made you think that, you know. But we're winning in many ways as well. Did you see there was recently Sandra Sully, I think, did a talk on how high school students have been trained to look at information differently so they can interpret misinformation and disinformation and know they're getting their information from trusted sources and blah, blah, blah. Because high school kids are receiving a lot of bad information on things like COVID-19 and the war in Ukraine. They're losing. The fact that they've even got to put these programs in school is because the kids are seeing what's going on. And they're losing the information war. Like they've moved too quickly. They've killed too many people. They're going too fast with this, and a lot of people are getting it. But unfortunately, the ones that do get it are running around with their heads cut off. They don't know what to do, which is where things like this rally, like the rally in Brisbane, the Freedom Rally and all this sort of stuff, if it had some focus and there was action at the end of it, you know, some sort of a plan of what we can do to get out of this mess, it would mean something. They wouldn't be that. That's what they need, and that's what these rallies should be for. But if
last
you're just
weekend
going to go
I,
there and offer lip service and then go home and think you've done something, well, you're just playing into their hands, you know.
Exactly. Last weekend, John Wilson and I flew up to Rockhampton and attended the rally up there. And at the end of that rally, they moved a motion. Now, I think it's the first motion that's been moved at any kind of freedom rally anywhere in Australia. Now, it wasn't a great motion. It wasn't some earth-shattering motion, but it was a motion that empowered the people there to support the organisers to put another rally together should there be new information come to light that they want to share and all that kind of thing. Now, that just unified a community of about 300 people who were sitting in the park on a Saturday, and they now have achieved one thing together. They all voted. They said, yes, we approve of that motion. Yes, we would like that information fed to us. And yes, we're prepared to come back and talk about it and have an organising committee to present it to us. That's as easy as it is to begin with, I think, folks. There's no point, I think John Wilson said too, that you know, we all turned up in Canberra, waved our flags, screamed wildly and walked away again when we were told to come back by a certain group of, I'm going to call them splitters, come back, you know, in May or come back in March or whatever the hell it was, and nobody came back, nobody did anything. Nobody committed to do anything. We had 1-2 million people in Canberra. What?
So yeah, you had
say we went to Canberra.
Yeah, yeah, you had that people showed up because they wanted action. They just wanted someone to give them a direction. Now we're here. What are we doing? Well, we're going to go down to that Parliament House. We're going to get the politicians to come out and talk to us. We want answers, and we want them now. And if they're not prepared to come out, they're not prepared.
But what happened? The politicians came out and took a select few back inside the Parliament.
No,
worked out some kind of a letter on behalf of the 1.5-2 million people out the front that supposedly was going to get delivered to the Prime Minister. What?
No, you get them all out here. You get the Prime Minister and his cabinet to come out here now. Yep. We're not leaving until he does.
Yeah.
And if he isn't prepared to come out, we'll give him 48 hours. If the Prime Minister, wherever he is, he can fly here. Even if Parliament's not sitting, we got issues. So you can gather your cabinet and you can fly here. You can be here in 48 hours. And if you're not, then we this 1 million or 2 million people, we're going to march down to the Governor General's office. And we're going to get him to write a writ to dissolve this government, and we're going to elect a new government. That's what's going to happen. And that's what should have happened. Oh, no, it's all this, oh, go home, and come back on the day of the election. What for? Yeah. What for? We're here now because we want answers. It doesn't matter when Parliament's sitting or when. They work for us. These are public servants that we elect to act in our best interest and act responsibly. We want them here right now because we got issues. And if they don't come here, then they're going to be charged with abuse of office because in 48 hours, we're going to the Governor General's office and we're going to demand a writ.
I think we've probably pretty much shown that the Governor General is a lame duck. I mean, he didn't even sign the last election writ. He witnessed it. He, I think, is subservient to government at every level and is just sitting there taking his orders. They wheel him out appropriately to kiss the baby and shake the hand and eat the lamington. And when, you know, cornered and questioned, which he's only ever allowed himself to be done once with Graham Hood, he says, oh, the people don't care. They don't care enough. Well, they do care. But what are we going to do? We get another 1 million people turn up to Canberra. We all just going to have a great week.
They cried wolf last time. How are you going to get them to come again? Maybe they will come again, but they did all that. They went to all that trouble, and all they got was hit with LRAD weapons. They didn't. There was no direction. Nothing happened. It's just okay. Here we are. Now what? Now what are we doing? Like I said, and okay, and like you say, it's one big, you know, circle jerk because the Prime Minister appointed the Governor General. The Governor General appoints the Prime Minister, who appoints the Governor General. It's just one big circle jerk. It's never used to be that way. He's supposed to be the Queen's representative, but he's not anymore. So this again is treason. I mean, and what's these two governments? What's this Commonwealth of Australia and the Commonwealth Government of Australia, or the Australian Commonwealth Government of Australia and the Australian Commonwealth Government? Why is there two different crests? Why aren't we using the lion and the unicorn if this is still under British rule? And if you look at all the stuff that Romney Stewart sussed out with the Justinian deception and all the work he's done, the continent of Australia actually refers to Norfolk Island and a couple of little places around there. So you guys are running a scam. You guys are running a scam. So what we're going to do is we're going to just forget the whole thing. And if there is any international law, well, we'll go to the United Nations, which is a complete shit show, but whatever. We'll go somewhere, go to the Queen, go to whatever, and say, look, our country's been usurped by these criminals. But whatever it is, you guys are out of power. And that's what needs to happen. But, I mean, you get to that point, and then who's going to do that? Well, we can't do it. We've got no weapons. We can't go and throw them out. Not that we would need weapons, except that if we do try and throw them out, the police are going to come us with their weapons because the police are not there to protect the people. They work for the criminal cabal, which is usurp power in the government. That's the problem. That's the situation. So, you know, what do you do? All The only way that I can see around this is mass non-compliance, which is why I was saying years ago, get to know your neighbours, get to know the people around you, become the best you can be in all that you can do, and be a shining light in your community. Help everybody that you can, become everybody's friend, so that we all stand together. Because a lot of people out there are just really confused. Sure, there's a lot of bad people who won't come along, but you know, it only took 1 to 3% of the population to win the American War of Independence. And we could do this through non-compliance. We could change the world through non-compliance if we could just respect ourselves enough to respect other people, you know?
I'm not sure if you're aware or not, Max, that there is a movement here in Australia that I'm very lucky to be part of called My Place, run by a fellow out of Melbourne called Darren Bergworth. Now, it's grown from one sort of factory-style My Place that was set up in Melbourne during the lockdowns. So people could turn up and have a beer and speak freely without being arrested or beaten up. And it has grown now to over 150 of these places around the country where groups have been started, where infrastructure is being put in place, where food security, education, a whole variety of community-based projects have got teams on them working in their local community and then developing a network within the My Place community so that we can get food, we can get water, we can get education, we can help each other. It's all about building unity through community. And I think that leads to what you were saying, knowing your next door neighbor. You know, not being a dictatorial type neighbor or somebody who knows everything, knows nothing. We've got to learn. We've been programmed to be distrustful of others, to be divisive. We've got to learn to be more open, to understand that, you know, our opinion may not necessarily be the only opinion or the right one. There might be a number of right opinions. We seem to have lost our ability to reason and understand others. Others' positions, and somehow we've got to get ourselves back to that. Do you see there is a way, either of you, there is a way forward for that to take great leaps in the near future?
Well, you know, I've been pushing that exact message since 2008. I was telling us we need to put common unity back into the community. I was telling people, because of what's coming, you need to have this strong communal support. Stop seeing everybody else as competing with you. It isn't about the size of your front door. But, you know, unfortunately, we're in a world where, I mean, there is a lot of distrust, and there's good reason for distrust, because people do bad things because they are kept in a state of artificial scarcity through this financial system, and they view themselves according to what stuff they own. You know, I am my stuff. I have this big front door. I have this nice car. I have this jewelry that I can buy my wife, you know. It's not about who I am. It's about my stuff. I am my stuff, you know. And it takes a long time before people realize that they're not their stuff. It doesn't matter about that. It matters about what's in your heart. And it matters about how you interact with the reflections of you that are everywhere, which is everybody else. You know, it takes a long time for people to look at that, you know.
On the My Place topic, Carl, unfortunately, I think human ego, it's just so hard to overcome, because I've already seen some of the My Places falling apart over ego people clashing. It's just really sad to see. We're trying our best. And I think, the My Place is a great concept, so let's keep working on it and let's try and keep ego out of it.
Well, it's a start. I mean, it's all a start. And like I said, I've been suggesting that, but ego gets in the way of everything. It's like with the rallies. If the rallies had direction, you know, and people didn't want to exalt themselves to be the leader of the rally, or people get this, they get on their little soapboxes and they start believing their own press, and it starts becoming about them and their vision of what they want to do, which is like, you know, fundraisers and sell t-shirts and just keep on having these rallies. But if there's no direct, we could have healed this years ago. When we had like 30,000 people there in Brisbane, we had 1 million people there in Canberra, maybe 2 million people. We've had moments there where we've had the numbers to actually go and affect change that day, but it's been diffused because of people's egos have got in the way, and they've seen it as their vision of what they want to do, and they can go home and say, wow, I had a successful event. Yeah, but the world's still going the way it is. Nothing's changing, you know, and we need to really call things for what they are. Stop beating around the bush. Stop being politically correct. And call things out for what they are. I mean, Dan Andrews is a criminal. Anastasia Palaszczuk shit in Brisbane. She's a criminal. These people lied to us. They killed people in nursing homes. They fudged numbers. They went along with a pandemic which has been fake right since the very beginning. And we've had thousands upon thousands of people die from it. They took away our rights, took away our liberties, told us we couldn't travel, all this stuff, forced us to have injections. And then they're saying, oh, no, we didn't force you to do anything. These people have been lying through their teeth, and thousands upon thousands of people have died because of their actions. And we need to name that for what it is and stop being politically correct about it and saying, oh, we think there needs to be an investigation. Now, we've had 3 years of investigation. We've been looking at it with our own eyes because we can think, this really moron thing that people don't seem to want to do anymore. You know, we can think and we can see it and we can call it out for what it is. And this is what we see. So you need to explain yourself or you're going in the hole. That's what needs to happen, brother. It really does.
Yep, I agree.
Someone commented in the chat box about the freedom parties needing to unite. So a political answer. I've gone off on that concept because I don't believe there's any political answer, even if the freedom parties get together, which they should have done at the last election, but they didn't.
Absolutely.
But even if they did, the voting is corrupt. So what difference is it going to make?
Well, yeah, I mean, they didn't even put their names on the ballots on that last election. So people didn't know who to vote for. But, yeah, I mean, if they're going for any type of political remedy and thinking if they believe in the political system that much, absolutely they should all get together as one party. Put your egos down. But everyone has their vision of what they want to do, you know. So what this is about is freedom, and that's all it's about. Everything else is just noise. So put all your shit down, put all your egos down, and let's get focused on that.
I agree. The ego, there is no point for ego in this business. There is no place for it. And those that are displaying it should just take a breath, sit back, because they do have, I believe, genuine contributions to make. But if it's everybody all about the back slaps, you're doing it for the wrong reason. We've discussed an inability to have an enforcement arm for the people at this stage, and that leads me to, I guess, the hopium of the white hat drama, the Trump-led, Q, you know, initiated savior of the world. I say that only partly tongue-in-cheek because I am a Trump believer. I've seen a lot of stuff that's come out of the Q decodes that does seem to be very accurate. But I'm also a bit of a skeptic. So I don't believe I can wait for Donald Trump to sail in on his white horse, waving whatever he's going to be holding at the time, an eagle in one hand and a sword in the other, to save us all. We have to work to save ourselves. We are the white hats, Max. Am I right?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, absolutely. You know, the problem with all that, again, I mean, there's so many factors at work here at the moment. We've got to get ourselves out of this mess. But, I mean, the US dollar is going to crash soon. And when that crashes, the whole world economy is going to go down. That's what a lot of this war in Ukraine is about, just pouring a heap of money into that. They've gone out of their way to break down the food chain in all our countries over the last year. Yep. So, I mean, Trump's not going to save anything. When you look at the speech that he, or the talk, the interview on CNN the other day, he said all the right thing. He tore the interviewer to pieces, really, just obliterated the interviewer. Yep. But why would they do that? Why would they invite him in there, then bring in a Republican crowd to cheer him on and ask him all these questions that were so easily for him to deflect? Because it focused on the fact that the system's real. It reinforced the concept that the system is real. There is a difference between the left and the right. Now, they're going to argue points, and it's about the economy, and it's about this, and it's about open borders, and it's about all this stuff, you know. But sure, it affects people on the ground, but it's not the bigger picture. Trump didn't call out the pandemic as being a fraud. He didn't call out the depopulation agenda that's happening. He didn't question why there's 600,000 Americans per year dying from the jab, why there's probably millions of people around the world dying from the jab. Didn't talk about, you know, sudden adult death syndrome. Didn't talk about lockdowns, the damage of masks. Didn't talk about, you know, he said he'd end the war in Ukraine. He didn't say what it's really about, but it's completely fake. It's about depopulating an entire generation of men from the country.
Mm.
You know, like, there's so much stuff he didn't talk about. And there's a new thing, I don't know, I'm actually meant to mention it on today's radio show, and I forgot all about it, I had so much on my list. But there's this new orb that's going around. Have you heard about the orb? They want you to come and stare into this orb so it can map your retina. You know, retinal scan you, and they've already done like 400,000 people or 40,000 people or something in this orb. And they're going around to every village, and they want to get everybody in the world to look, at least look into this orb, right? Remember that meeting of world leaders, and Trump was there and they had that orb and they all had their hand on it?
Yeah.
Remember that? You know, It's all going towards the same thing. I mean, Trump calls himself the father of the vaccine still. He's not telling people not to take it. He's not calling out how many people have died from this jab and the damage that it's doing. He's not talking about Bluetooth signals. He's not talking about all the stuff we know is happening with this jab. I don't know any politician that is calling this out as a complete fraud, not anywhere in the world. Even people who are saying, oh, you fudge the numbers and people are dying and the infections. Like, even people like Malcolm Roberts and Pauline Hanson and all these people in Australia, they're saying a certain amount of truth, but not the whole truth. COVID's a fraud. There is no COVID. This whole thing was a scam right from the beginning. It was about depopulation right from the beginning. And it is quite literally an extinction level event. You know, with what they're doing to the human race, destroying the male sperm count, transgenderizing people, none of these people are going to breed. We're not going to have oncoming generations. We've already got to a point of decline that it's almost impossible to recover from, which is when they'll make the whole concept of, well, you better join AI, the AI revolution, and get yourself an avatar robot, put your brain and your mind into the mainframe, and you can live forever in the virtual reality that we control your movements in. You know, and imprison your consciousness, trap your soul. I think that's what a lot of this is about. And we've almost gone past the point of no return. If people don't stand up very, very soon, then it's just, you're just going to be going to where you got. And I would suggest people really need to do the work on themselves through this time. I've been saying go grey, see if you can make it through to the other side. The time to rally the people is now, and it's that window is fast closing because of the smart grid that's rolling out. And I'm not trying to be defeatist or a wet blanket or a negative anything. I'm just looking at things realistically. I've been warning people that this is coming for the last 20 years. I've done everything I can to try to prevent this train from ever reaching the station. But now it's here. And you know, it's just almost every man for himself. I mean, what you guys are doing, setting up this community out where you are, Kaz, and all that sort of stuff, getting yourself off grid, that's a great idea. Yeah, that's something people should be doing. But even doing that, I mean, in many ways, you make yourself a target because, you know, you're that little. They can just say, oh, there's an outbreak there. They're all anti-vaxxers. Shut down your communication. Soon you're going to need biometric scanning to even get online. You're going to need biometric scanning to even go to the supermarket or even put gas in your car. So, you know, it's really getting to that point that people have got to start stockpiling or start taking action. I mean, I still believe we could change the world in a day if people just suddenly had that epiphany and realized they have value. But, you know, the window is fast closing. And all you people out there in the truth movement and with your different rallies and your different movements and even your different political parties, get it together, get over your shit, get over your egos, and let's all work together. We don't need one united movement, because if there's one united movement, then there's leaders making decisions, and that's where it all falls apart. Personally, I don't want anyone making decisions for me, and I'm sure you don't either. I don't care how justified they think their actions are or what their grand vision for the future is. That's why I don't want to lead anybody either. What I want people to do is focus on freedom, our need to establish freedom by any means possible. And the best way to do that is to be all that you can be a shining example, be a great friend to everybody that you can, and just let's move this forward and stop complying with your own slavery. Stop complying with the rules that are given to you by parasites and pedophiles and all the stuff they're doing, and start to think for yourself. That's really the way through this.
Yep. 100%, 100%. Kaz, I know you have another appointment you want to get to, and we've been going nearly an hour, so I won't hold you guys up too much longer. There is a lot of comment in the chat, Max, people asking when you're returning to Australia. Have you got plans, or, you know, what's the deal?
Well, you know, like, I'd like to return there by the end of the year, but it's going to depend on the political climate there. I'm certain that I'm a person of interest. I mean, you can't say this sort of stuff. And they want you to be politically correct. You know, well, there's a process. If you want the government gone, well, there's a process. Go and fill out this form. And, you know, all this crap, you know, that they do to you. They certainly don't like some of the things I've been saying. When I left there, they shut down my bank accounts, and they went to visit my sister's place and tried to find out where I was and all that sort of stuff. But I still would like to come home before the end of the year. So even if it's just to visit and sort out my stuff there, and just, I mean, I love the place. I'd like to be there with the people. But, I mean, I sat there and I screamed from the rooftops for 20 years nearly to wake up to what's coming. And they left me to do it on my own for a long time. And then things like that rally where I wasn't allowed to speak to those 30,000 people, I just thought, this is this is going nowhere. I'm just wasting my time. I was getting all these intuitive feelings that I should leave. Plus, there's some psycho woman who managed to find out my address from the numbers on one of the rubbish bins and found my house and mapped it out and all sorts of stuff. It was doxing my address all over the internet and encouraging wow. people to come and harm me, which puts my landlord and a lot of people in danger. You know, it's just tantamount to encouraging murder, doing that sort of stuff. So I just thought it was advisable to leave. I really miss the place. I mean, I've been in Mexico near here nearly 2 years now, and I do miss home very much. And I totally sympathize with what's going on there. I still report on Australia an awful lot because it is a concern to me what's happening there. But hopefully I'll be back by the end of the year, even if it's just to come in and out. But so I can't see myself going and speaking to any rallies or doing any of that sort of stuff while I'm there. It'll just be to kind of slip in, see my friends and do what I need to do and figure out where I want to go. Because, I mean, Australia, it's a wonderful place. And the Australian people, if you can get them awake, they're a really staunch bunch of people that will take their country back. But I've been calling the place Apathralia for a few years now because people just don't seem to care. And now many people have had this jab. Like I said, it seems to be affecting their brains. And they're allowing all this LGBT stuff and all, like, so much stuff that they would never have allowed. So are they ever going to wake up? Are they ever going to stand up for themselves, the Apathralians? Because they need to. And it would be a perfect country to do it because we've got a large population. It's a big country. We've got a large population compared to the politicians and the police, but a small enough population that we could actually take the country back. You know, it'd be a lot easier than somewhere like in the United States, 300 million people. You know, we've got 26 million people. It's less people to rally, less people to wake up. You know, if you could get half of that population to actually see the clear and present danger that we're in and just stop what they're doing, start supporting each other, get on with their businesses, get the food chain up and running. Don't destroy your chickens if the government tells you to. Don't destroy your honeybees. You know, destroy the politicians that are telling you to do that. Well, not destroy them, but hold. So why? Why are you telling me to destroy my bees? There's nothing wrong with my bees. And we all know that if you kill the bees, you kill the food chain. So what's your goal here? What's this carbon zero environment you want to head us to? Because we're all carbon-based life forms. I think I see a problem with your carbon zero projection. Zero. There's a possibility with Australia. There's a possibility that it's a small enough population, but large enough compared to the controllers that we could actually take the country back. So, you know, I have faith. I have an enormous amount of faith in human beings.
What concerns me with that argument, Max, is that at this point in time, I don't think the people could trust the military to back them.
That's the problem as well.
And why we may run over the top of civil law enforcement, if you like.
Well,
the government, the cabal controls, I believe,
That's the problem as well. You'd really want the military to come to the party because the police obviously aren't. I mean, and all respect to them, there was a lot of cops that quit because they didn't like what was being done to them and what they had to do to the people through the whole COVID lockdown. But rather than quitting, what they should have done was turn around and arrest their commanding officers for giving them unlawful
Exactly. Power. You know, and they had the right to do so.
They had the right to do so. They had the duty to do so, really.
Indeed. Yep.
But, and there's enough of them. There's thousands of cops that quit. If they could have rallied together, then they could have done something like that. Because unfortunately, when they left, all these brain-dead thugs joined the force who can't rub two brain cells together. That's why you've got people tasering 95-year-old women and stuff, you know.
Yeah.
And these people don't care. I mean, the police is the biggest crime gang on earth. They can get away with anything. And now they've got rid of what good cops we had. It's looking pretty bad. So if the military don't come to the party, if the military aren't prepared to see the Australian people as what they're defending, then it's going to be all over, unfortunately. So,
I mean, and the military have the same duty to disobey an unlawful order from a higher up officer. And God knows that's what we've been getting. So,
yeah, again, they're all vaccinated. They've all got this electronic gear all over them as well. What frequencies are being pumped into them? They got this nanotech in them, and they put on their uniforms. Once you put on a uniform, you feel different. You're part of this club. You start thinking this herd mentality, this hive mind. Yeah. It's remarkable how that works. So, I mean, it's interesting times, brother. But I still have an enormous amount of faith in people. I just think maybe it's got to get really, really, really bad before they wake up. But I mean, how much worse can it get? You know, unfortunately.
When your kid dies, you know, that hasn't woken a lot of people up. A lot of people have just said, oh, yeah, my eight-year-old dropped dead of a heart attack on the soccer field last Saturday. That's normal. I mean, it's upsetting, it's sad, but it's normal. You know, my 15-year-old, my 19-year-old.
Story
last weekend, 19-year-old dropped dead while she was going out with friends for the first time in 6 weeks.
I mean, I remember when I was at primary school, there were kids dropping dead all over the football field. When I used to go out on dates, people dropping dead all over the nightclubs. Yeah, I remember it well from my childhood.
Recently said to somebody, how many funerals have you attended? What you know, before this whole, you know, jab thing happened, how many funerals would you attend on average a year? And he said, oh, you know, 3, 4 maybe. And I said, and how many have you been to in the last year? He said, 9.
Yeah. I've attended probably 4 or 5 funerals or 6 funerals in my life up until COVID, you know what I mean? If I was home in Australia, I'm sure I'd be attending more. I mean, people don't generally go to funerals once a year even.
Yeah.
I mean, once every few years they might go to a funeral, once every 5 or 10 years.
Yep.
9 in the last year. Really? Oh, your sudden adult death syndrome. Nothing to do with the jab, nothing to do with any forced medical procedure, nothing to do with wearing these masks which fill your lungs full of microfibers and deplete your immune system and destroy you. None of that. No, it's all perfectly safe and effective. It's just normal for people to suddenly drop dead. Climate change. Climate change, yeah.
Climate change. That'll do it absolutely every time.
Yeah, yeah.
All right, guys. Well, look, thank you very much for spending some time with us today, Max and Cass. I know you've got a big day. You've got things you've got to get to, so... I really appreciate you hooking us up with Max to be able to do this. And I hope, Max, you'll come back and join us on The Voice of Freedom again at some stage.
Absolutely, brother. I hope I don't get you into trouble with my rants, but that's the way it goes. I'm a little bit outspoken for a lot of people. If you could send me a link when you get it posted and I'll share it on my BitChute channel. I'll link back to you.
Great. Thank you very much. Well, yeah, I've got 9 channels we're sharing on. They only usually take me off YouTube, so we'll see how we go.
yeah, if you post this on YouTube, they'll delete it within a day, I guarantee it.
All good. No worries. The live might stay up for a little while, but it will come down later today. Yeah. All right, mate.
Well, I'm happy to come on any time, brother. Good to see you again, Kaz.
Thanks, Max. Really appreciate
it. Yeah, you too, Max. See you soon.
Thanks, Kaz. I really appreciate you helping hook this up, and I hope you have a great day today. Go out and enjoy the sunshine. Yeah.
Yes, I will. All right. Talk soon.
Thanks. See you later. And thank you, folks, for getting out of bed early, if that is the case, or for sticking around for the early show. If I've made you late for work, I do apologise. And I'll just throw up this one more time. This is the Moreton Bay Pride Fest, Moreton Bay, Queensland, and you can see just down here above Thelma Plum, LGBTIQAP+. Performers. So I'm quite sure what the P stands for, but I think we've all got a pretty reasonable idea. All right, folks, it's not something we're proud of on a Tuesday morning at this time of the day, particularly in Queensland, but just goes to show not all the dickheads are on the roads, eh?
You let one ant stand up to us, then they all might stand up. Those puny little ants outnumber us 100 to 1. And if they ever figure that out, there goes our way of life. It's not about food. It's about keeping those ants in line. That's why we're going back.
Does anybody else want to stay?
Let's rock!